In a territory of almost unlimited land, which also has great wealth and natural resources, to offer working-class people relatively good and steady employment, the thrust of the worker to the middle class is quick, compared to the same process taking place farther east, and it's also decisive. Seattle was in the process of becoming as close to a one-class city as any in the country, and the working class was consciously and deliberately shedding almost all traces of itself. But such an analysis, though true, and in a way decisive, is really very simplistic. There are ways and ways of being or becoming bourgeois. It's much too large and cumbersome a term, as the question of liquor and prohibition shows. Inevitably and desirably, the people of Seattle were going to move as close as they could to a situation where everyone would own his own home. Set down roots, manage a small garden, drive a car, become a little defensive and quite proud of living in the Northwest. At the same time, support of prohibition and of such legislation as the 1909 Blue Laws, an initiative referendum and recall, meant something like distrust of the world outside and a strong desire to impose some of the least attractive qualities of the middle class on everyone else. The desire for a settled and secure family life led to what at times was an almost fanatical opposition to anything, which simply because it was different from such a family life was held to be the enemy of it. And this was happening at a time when the new middle class had enough power to impose its wishes on everyone. It tends to be the qualities of small towns to seek homogeneity, the quality of cities that they remain and promote heterogeneity and diversity. Seattle was working towards being a city based on the principles of a small town, rather than those of very large cities.